Thank you, Brother Ross, for leading us in those songs this morning. Thank you all for being here. It's good to be with the saints again this Lord's Day. As mentioned already in prayer, that this is the last day in 2017. So I've thought about the lessons that I would bring, speak to you one more time this side of 2017 before it is no more, before it is history. If you'd like to, you can open up to that invitation song, 325, I Am Resolved. And that's really going to serve as the outline of the lesson this morning. A song written in 1896, over 100 years ago, speaking about making resolution about various different things. You know, it's customary at either the end of the year or beginning of the year to begin to look back at our lives, not just the year, but to our lives and evaluate and reevaluate and to think about the things that we've done and participated in and the things that we're going to do and participate in. And then we begin to formulate goals, right, or resolutions about those particular things. Now, they say that one doesn't have a very good track record of following through with their resolutions. And it's a very low percent that actually keeps those resolutions. And yet, I think that's more of a commentary on us, on man, as opposed to the resolution itself. I mean, we even have a song in our books, I Am Resolved. And so we understand the importance of being resolute, of firm determination about doing something. And so when we look at this song, I believe that it has a great thought that we ought to follow, challenges that we ought to be resolute and resolved about. Will we do these things if we have not done these things? Let's think about that now, shall we? The first stanza of that song says, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. No longer to linger. You know, some maybe here have been lingering between serving God and becoming a Christian and staying the same, staying uncommitted to the Lord. When we sing this song, we're saying, I am resolving no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. I think about the words of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, when he approached his audience. And in 1 Kings 18, verse 21, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter or linger between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. They were going to linger a little longer. But there's the options, essentially. God, Baal, God, or the world. It's either or. And we say this, we sing this, we're saying, no, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to serve God. Have you been lingering? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now, there also may be those that have committed to Christ, become Christians, and yet they've been struggling with their allegiance to Jesus Christ. This stanza reminds us that it's very easy to place our affections on the things of the world. Charmed, it says, by the world's delight. And yet God's Word has always challenged us to not be charmed by it. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul, speaking to those that were in Christ, he had to remind them about this very thing. In Colossians chapter 3, there verse 1, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, so these were Christians, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. So, this song reminds us that we're going to make firm determination to place our mind on the things that are with Christ, the things that are above, spiritual things, as opposed to earthly and temporal things. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew the 6th chapter. The Lord in that great chapter reminded us all in verse 19 to not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's why you'll struggle with your allegiance to Christ if you begin to be charmed by the world's delight and set your affections, your treasure, essentially your value, on things beneath as opposed to things above. So we're resolving not to be materialistic, not to be charmed by this passing world. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17 tells us to not love the world, nor the things, notice that, nor the things in the world. And that if that is where our love is, then the love of the Father is not in us. Not in us. There are many things in the world that are alluring, that are very straightforward transgressions of God's Word. Right? Things that try to pull us away from God and take away our inhibitions. Drinking or alcohol or drugs, you know, smoking. All these kinds of things that they remove those defenses to be self-controlled and to be godly. Then there's also things of the world that may not necessarily be wrong, such as like movie or money, entertainment, sports, video games. All these kinds of things, they may have the proper place in the right proportion, but for some, they lose that balance, be charmed by those things and can only be thinking about those things. When we sing this stanza, we're saying we're making firm determination not to be led by those, but rather heavenly things will have our attention. You know, one good way to maybe have a measurement as to what really allures us, what really is valuable to us, is to see where we place our money. You know, how much do we funnel in this way and that way and spend in this particular thing and that particular thing? A lot of times that will be the thermometer of what really is important to us. Do we spend more in entertainment than we do in giving back into our God? That's just one illustration. Do we really mean it when we say, no longer will I linger, charmed by the world's delight? Stanza number 2 says, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. You see the author of the song utilizing some scripture there. John 6, verse 68. To whom shall we go? You have the words of life, said Peter unto Jesus. This stanza emphasizes our firm determination, our resolve to overcome our shortcomings and sin. And with the help of the Savior, we can do this by His mercy and by His truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul wrote to the brethren at Corinth, concerned about their spiritual welfare. And he said at the end of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, he says, for I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings and whispering, conceits and tumults. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. So Paul was concerned, I'm going to find you guys back in sin again. In other words, Corinth could have used this song right here. I'm resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. I need to make that resolution once again. I need to repent.
chapter 13:2 says, "I've told you before and foretell as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before, and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare." Paul desired their repentance, and so he challenged them. Verse 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" So he said in verse 7, "I pray to God that you do no evil." I pray to God that you do no evil. That's not a vain prayer. That's something that he desired for them and desires for us as well. So how have we done in the past in fulfilling this stanza? Have we left our sin and strife? Have there been difficult sins that you've had to give up in order to bear your cross and to follow after Him this past year? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, Paul plainly says, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin." Awake to righteousness and do not sin. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 1, John says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." That's God's desire for you and me. And thankfully, He has a way out for when we have. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We carry that to Him, we confess it to Him, and He cleanses us of sin. So if there's sin and strife in your life, would you be resolved to leave it behind in 2017? To not bring it into 2018? To repent and make it history and give it up? If you're not, then don't sing this stanza when we sing this to close, right? You don't want to lie to God. When we say this, we're saying to God, "I'm resolving this, God. I'm making this determination." The third stanza says, "I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth. He is the living way." So again, we see more scriptural references being used here to follow the Savior. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, "You know, well, I'll follow you wherever you go." That should be our desire. "He is the living way." Hebrews 10, verse 20 says He is the new and living way. These are great words to sing, to fill our hearts and minds with. And so this stanza emphasizes us following His example, heeding His word, obeying His voice. I've resolved to follow the Savior. Let's look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example," notice, "that you should follow His steps." That Steve Mons should follow His steps. We should all follow His steps. He left us that example. So how have we done this past year in following those steps? See, it's not enough just to accept Him as our Savior, but we must also follow Him as our Lord. In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16, the Word of God says in verse 24, Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." We've got to follow the Savior. Be faithful and true each day, the song says. Now, in order to follow the Savior, to heed what He saith and do what He willeth, then that infers something, doesn't it?
It infers that we've been studying His Word. For we can only obey that which we know. How do we heed what He saith if we don't know what He saith? How do we follow the Savior if we don't know where He went and what He did? We've got to know those things. And 2 Timothy 2:15 and 1 Peter 3:15, Acts 17:11, all those verses encourage us to have our nose in the book, to study it. And we quote those passages over and over again. I want to ask you, as I mentioned those references, do you know them? 2 Timothy 2:15. 1 Peter 3:15. Acts 17:11. If not, you might want to write those down and go read them and study them. Because those verses encourage us to do that very thing. So this is a time-taking effort. When we sing this stanza, we're resolving to commit to Bible study, to reading His Word this year. I guarantee you'll never regret the time you spent in the Bible. But you will regret the time that you didn't. It's interesting how it works that way. I have printed off copies of a Bible reading program that may aid you in such an effort. They're on the back next to the bulletin board, and you can grab one on your way out. But beyond that, we need to be studying, not just reading, studying the Word of God. You know, it's interesting. In Bible class, adult class, we're studying where He went and what He did. It's on the life of Christ. And even the children's classes are going to begin to do that as well. I challenge members here. Have you been skipping more classes than you've been making? Will you resolve to change that if you have been? Will you resolve to change that? Because that's what you're saying when you sing this stanza here. I'm resolving to follow the Savior. I want to know where He went. I want to know what He did and what He said. So I'm going to commit to Bible study so I might know those things. The fourth stanza says, I'm resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me and foes may beset me. Still will I enter in. The most important and joyous decision you'll ever make in your life is to enter the kingdom of Christ. That takes place when one is baptized into Christ. Acts 2 and verse 38. The Lord adds to the church, Acts 2:47. Translated into the kingdom, Colossians 1 and verse 13. Out of the power of darkness and into His marvelous light. It's the best decision one makes to enter into His kingdom. But we need to remember that it does come at a cost. It comes at a cost. Often, as this stanza points out, at the ridicule of family, of friends who may oppose you. They may oppose you for a number of different reasons. It could be your righteous life becomes a condemnation of theirs. They see the change in you and they don't like how it makes them feel about their own lives as they carry on in their own sin. And just, you don't even say a word. But just by your change of conduct, it speaks volumes to them and they can't stand it. And they want to oppose it. And point out transgressions in the past that you used to be engaged in. And encourage you to go back. Now, as Peter said, we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. 1 Peter 4, verse 3. I ain't going back. And you shouldn't either. It could be that family or friends oppose you because you're taking a stand for the truth. They may be religious natured themselves, but they do not walk in the way. It is a narrow way. That's why it was often called in the book of Acts as the way. They understood there was just no other option. They don't like the squeeze. They don't like how that makes them feel. Why do you have to point out that my worship is vain or void or without scriptural authority? Does it really matter to God if I use an instrument or don't use an instrument? And they don't like those kind of questions and those probings. Most of all, they don't like how they don't have a New Testament passage to put their finger upon that authorizes them using the instrument of music. And that bothers them. Will we still enter in, regardless of how they oppose us? You know, in John chapter 3, in John the third chapter, we meet a man named Nicodemus. And he was about to go on an adventure that would cost him a lot. In John chapter 3, the Bible tells us in verse 1, this man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus is being challenged to enter the kingdom. But Nicodemus, there's going to have to be a whole life change. You've got to be born again. And Jesus explains that to him, being born of water and the Spirit. A new heart. New change of life. Being immersed into Christ. Would he be willing to do that? Well, Jesus goes on to challenge him in verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light. He does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they've been done in God." Nicodemus, this coming by night may work for a bit, but hey, if you're really going to do the truth, you're going to have to come to the full light of exposure. I'm resolved into the kingdom, leaving the paths of sins. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me. In John the 7th chapter, Nicodemus begins to come more to the light. Publicly there, saying, let's pause in regard to passing judgment on Jesus. Verse 51 of John 7, "Does our Lord judge a man before he hears him and knows what he's doing?" And notice verse 52, "The friends oppose him. Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." If you look back at chapter before, Jesus wasn't asking any more of Nicodemus that happened to him. In John chapter 6, the Bible shows there in verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Sometimes it's a lonely road we travel when we travel with the Lord. Will we still be resolved to enter the kingdom? Finally, in John the 19th chapter, after Jesus was crucified on the cross, in John 19, there verse 38, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus." Notice verse 39, "And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds." Now, much more visibly, Nicodemus, who the Scripture points out came to Jesus by night, now asks for the body of Jesus that it might be perfumed and taken care of for a proper burial. Nicodemus, though friends opposed, would still enter in. Will we? Jesus challenges us to come to the light as well. Do we? Or do we hide our religious convictions for fear of what people might think? Will we hide? Will we be cowardly? Or will we come to the light and live as the next stanza tells us? You know, in our songbooks, we only have four stanzas. But the original author penned a fifth one. "I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, will walk the heavenly way.
You see, the stanza before ties in so well, challenging us to not be afraid of what the friends and foes may do or say. But regardless, let's still teach others about the Lord. Who will come with me? Come, friends, without delay. In Mark, the 5th chapter, Mark chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus told this man, He said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. You know, I almost feel that the Lord is reaching through the Scriptures and saying those words to me. Go! Tell your friends. Tell them what great things He's done for you and how He's had compassion on you, Stephen. Will we be resolved to teach others more diligently in the year to come? How many Bible conversations can you initiate? How many Bible studies can you set up in your homes to plan for that, to make effort towards that? I say, well, I'm very busy, Stephen. I'm very busy. Well, you need to remember stanza number one then. Remember, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Oh, we're not too busy for the Lord then and for the will of God. I mean, look at a good examples like Andrew in John chapter 1, verse 41, who found his brother Peter, right? What was he saying? He's saying, come, friends, without delay. We found the Messiah. In Acts chapter 9, in Acts the 9th chapter, what about the one that had opposed Christianity so vehemently? Right after he is baptized into Christ, Acts 9:20 says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. We might say he had to swallow a whole lot of crow, right? That would have been difficult to do, but he did it because he knew what great things the Lord had done for him and how he had compassion on him. Paul knew the compassion of Christ. And so he wanted to say, come, friends, without delay. And then in Acts chapter 10, notice verse 24. The following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting with them, for he had called together his relatives and close friends. Verse 33, so I sent to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now therefore we're all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God. Could that be not something that we could do? Like Cornelius, come, friends, without delay. We're going to be taught. We're going to be taught by the Bible. Peter's coming. Man of God. We're here to hear all things commanded you by God. In 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, Paul challenges Timothy along these lines, and no doubt by extension us. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, and the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The chain of teaching, it must continue. Yes, there may be those that oppose us. We know there will be, as the stanza says before. But that shouldn't hold us back. I think about Anippus in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2, there verse 13, where he said he did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Anippus was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. What an interesting name. I always found Anippus an interesting name. It just literally means, it's a compound Greek word, it means against all. So here's this man that everyone perceived was against everything. Yes, against everything that was sinful. And the reason why he died is because he told people that. He wouldn't have been a martyr if he was quiet and silent. But Anippus, Jesus said, my faithful martyr, would have been one that said, come, friends, without delay. No doubt that echoes the very end of the Bible
In Revelation chapter 22, when the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," verse 17, "Let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." Listen, dear friends, if we wish to grow, it must be a group effort. I know people that you don't know, and you know people that I don't know. And I guarantee a lot of these younger kids that are coming of age, they certainly know a whole lot of people that neither one of us know. And when we sing this stanza, when we sing this song, we're resolving, making firm commitment to try and study with others and to spread the gospel. I found this poem that I want to share with you. It struck my heart, and maybe it will you as well. It's called Betrayed. Betrayed. It starts, "Friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth I walked with you day by day and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell His story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to Him. Yes, I know He'd made the earth, but I knew not of the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention Him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. I learn now that it is too late. You could have saved me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die, and knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life, and trusted you through joy and strife. And yet on coming to this end, I cannot now call you my friend." Well, we say, "Come, friends, without delay." And then the stanza says, "I will hasten," which means very quickly, Lord. Hasten to Him. Hasten so glad and free. Will you make these resolutions, dear friends, with me as we sing together these words and challenge our hearts to serve the Lord in fullness? And if we've fallen short this year, find those areas, repent of that, and leave it in the past in 2017, and resolve and serve in 2018. I am resolved. Are you? Won't you come when we stand and sing? "Resolve no longer to linger, charmed by the world's daylight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten, hasten to Him. Hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving the sin and strife. Just one, He hath the words of life. I will hasten, hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. I will hasten, hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I
resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter. To him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
You mind if we keep singing?
I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Spirit will walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Amen.